The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences. If you are not an adult, please do not let your parents know you're listening to this, and don't repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please drink responsibly. Now that we have all that covered, let's start the show.
Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 309 of the podcast, unless you're joining live on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. Today is Monday, April 10th. No show yesterday because it was Easter Sunday. Spent time with the family, doing family-friendly Easter things, coloring eggs and shit. I hope everybody had a really nice holiday, nice weekend. I know Israel Adesanya did, regained his UFC middleweight championship belt against his arch nemesis, Alex Pereira. Before we get into any of that, let me welcome the Garden State grappler, all the way from New Jersey. He's got the giggles. Jeff,
oh man,
the animal. Wilson, Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks, Bill. The Garden State grappler, dude, that was hilarious. Bill, I haven't trained in like 8 months, man.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't leave you.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. I'll get tired, but my body will still know what to do. Bill, I feel awesome. Before celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior on Sunday, Bill, I enjoyed the resurrection of Israel Adesanya's title reign Saturday night, man. What a fight, dude. I felt like the rest of the card, I felt like it was hit or miss, but the main event was pretty good.
It was kind of Sunday morning for us.
Yeah, basically. The card, I felt like it finished a lot earlier than I thought it would. I thought I was going to go until like 2 a.m. I was expecting a five-rounder, man, for the main event.
Yeah, it would have made sense, but you got two guys who both throw friggin' dynamite in there.
But, Bill, what did you guys get into this weekend other than the egg hunting and the breakfast with the in-laws?
We did like a brunch-lunch thing in Tampa. It was nice. It was a little crowded for me. I would have preferred to stay home, but it's kind of easier for them to go meet in Tampa. Because my father-in-law is still recovering from his hip replacement surgery, so make it a little easier on them. We travel to them and, you know, go out to lunch. And we went to a nice place by the river in Tampa. But, yeah, I stayed up late watching the fights. I guess like 1:30 they ended or so. And then I had to wake up early to be the Easter bunny. And like the wife actually came out and videotaped me. I was like a zombie walking around the backyard, fucking hiding Easter eggs. it was worth it because, you know, Ariana's 5 now. So she's at the age where it's just so much fun for her. Like she woke up so excited. It was Easter and came down and got her little Easter basket, and you'll be proud of this, Jeff. Easter Bunny brought her a little pop-up soccer goal.
Oh, dude, I saw that. very excited for that.
You're going to have to show her some moves next time you come down. She wants to be a goalie. She kind of designated herself as a goaltender. I don't know what...
Bill, you can't allow this. Bill... You know, I've coached a couple of soccer teams.
Yeah.
And to be a goalkeeper, you have to have a couple of screws loose.
Okay. That's my kid.
That doesn't make sense. But honestly, if I had to guess what position Ariana would want to play, I would think that you'd want to be a goalkeeper. Your kid is fearless, Bill. And I think to be a goalkeeper, you have to be fearless because for me personally, I think it's the hardest position. Because if you mess up as a striker, you know, you can, and you miss a goal, that's fine. You can shoot again later on. If you mess up as a goalkeeper, your team's down 1-0.
Yeah.
So
it takes a very strong-willed person to have the whole rest of the team hate you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I also feel she's a bit of a control freak too. So she's got to be able to, you know, use her hands in a sport where like everybody else is not allowed to. I think that's what's most appealing to her. Like she knows she's allowed to grab the ball and nobody else can. And I think that's the part of it she likes, she enjoys the most.
Okay.
I'm not going to say she's just like her mother, but she's just like one of her parents, and it's not me.
Yeah, Bill. Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, I don't doubt it, Bill. But, yeah, dude, I'll go over some goalie drills with her next time I'm down there.
Sweet. Yeah, so we had a good time. You know, she likes hunting for the eggs, and I was going back. I was being like the nostalgic dad going back and watching the videos of the previous years, you know, back to when she was two, waddling around the yard, finding the eggs that were hidden, like in plain sight. There was one video when she was two, we're telling her, like, check the tree. She goes like this. it was just sitting right next to the tree. Oh. I'm not reading that comment.
Bill, what are you talking about?
There's a comment that inappropriate comment that came through on the on the chat here. I'm not gonna get into it, but let's yeah. So was your Easter nice? Spent a little time with the fam?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So Saturday before before watching the UFC card, and I didn't catch all of it, but looking at it, I actually did catch most of the prelims and all the main card. So I had a birthday party before on Saturday, so before the UFC card, so it was nice. You know, I got to spend some time with a couple of friends I haven't seen in a while. It was really nice to be able to talk and just sit down and eat with people. And, you know, it was a little kid's birthday party. It was like somebody was turning two. Mm-hmm. So it worked out really well because it was an early night. So I made it home, was still able to like sit down and watch the card, man. So a lot of fun.
Oh, good. Sounds good. All right.
Bill, what's wrong with this comment that you don't want to read it on the air?
I just feel like I'm being set up to sound foolish. It's just a question with a made up name. That's because I'm looking at the middleweight rankings, and this person wants to know how Adesanya would do against somebody else, and I don't see this person in the rankings. So I think it's just a ridiculous troll question. So I'm not even going to acknowledge it any further. All right, let's get it.
You think this guy should get a top 15 first?
Yeah. I'd say so.
Oh, man. Bill, that sounds like something. This comment, it looks like something written by Arthur Vandelay, bro.
He should change his username to that thing. Anyway. So, Adesanya regains the middleweight championship from his arch nemesis, Poatan, Alex Pereira. So, here's what I found interesting about this, Jeff, is that in the previous three matchups, Adesanya appeared to be the better fighter and wound up losing, getting knocked out in two of those three meetings. In this fight, Pereira seemed to be the better fighter. I had him winning both rounds up to the point the fight ended, and then he gets knocked out, which just kind of speaks to like how insanely evenly matched these guys are. You know, it's like one of them could be winning the entire time and the other one still has the ability to finish it at any given moment. I like that Adesanya was taking more risks this time around. You know, he wasn't backing up, trying to counter as much, even though that's how he finished the fight. But in the earlier part of the fight, he wasn't really doing that. He was getting right in there with Padilla. And you know, I thought it took a lot of guts to do that, especially because Adesanya is best as a counter striker. So the fact that he was pushing forward, especially after what happened to him the last two times he fought Padilla, really showed that, like, I guess mentally, he had what it took to win this fight. And, you know, eventually backed up against the cage, did a little rope-a-dope, kind of shelling up, and Padilla got a little overconfident. You know, he just started wailing combinations, thought he had Adesanya hurt, and Adesanya just came with that overhand right. Take two of these and call me in the morning. put Alex Padilla to sleep. Super impressive, man. Give me your thoughts on the fight before I continue ranting here.
Yeah, dude. So great performance from both of these guys, man. Alex Padilla was looking good, yeah, like you said, up until the finish, and Adesanya was in the fire, man. But dude, that first off, the counter was beautiful, man. That 1-2 after Padilla had just finished landing his combination, it was just nasty, man. And then, Bill, that hammer fist when Padilla was on the floor, it reminded me of Dan Henderson versus Michael Bisping 1, man. Like, he put him out with that hammer fist, dude. Good stoppage from the ref. And, man, you got to give it to Adesanya, man. Bill, I thought he was going to go 0-4 against Alex Pereira. But, man, he made a statement, dude, with that win. Unbelievable. And, Bill, you know, you talked about Adesanya's mentality. Agree with you 100%. But, man, Bill, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know Adesanya had that kind of power, man. You know, usually Adesanya's finishes, they come from technique and they come from him throwing a lot. You could say like Nick Diaz, how his finishes come from just, you know, overloading the opponent. But, dude, that finish was just a 1-2. And like you said, take two of these and we'll see how you feel tomorrow when you wake up, man.
Yeah. His biggest knockouts have come from guys who have gotten overly aggressive too. And I feel like he kind of lured Padilla into that, you know, by pressing forward, and then backing up, as opposed to the last fight where he was just kind of striking from the outside, counter striking, cutting angles. So it was like, a push pull. You know, he's pushing, and then Padilla pushes back, and then he uses that momentum against him to land that big shot to finish the fight. It was pretty brilliant on Adesanya's part. It was a huge risk, and it paid off for him. Now, here's my problem with this fight, Jeff, is this is the rematch that nobody asked for. You know? Like...
Yeah.
I mean... That's just what it is. And not even either one of these guys was vocal about it. You know, when they asked Padilla, they were like, well, Adesanya did me a favor by giving me a title shot. So if he wants it, you know, I'll give him the rematch to repay the favor. And Adesanya was like, yeah, if he gives me the rematch, I'll take it. And the fans and the media were pretty much like, no, we're good. Let's, you know, it's 3-0. Let's move on to something else. Like I was ready for Padilla to move up to 205. I still want Padilla versus Jiří Prochazka. That's like a dream fight for me that I need to see that fight, Jeff. But now we're put in a position, and Adesanya kind of ruled out the trilogy, but now we're in a position where like they're 1-1 in the UFC and they both knocked each other out. We kind of have to do the trilogy now. Like, man, they kind of backed us into a corner with it. And I say that especially because if you look at the rankings here, like you got, and obviously they didn't change the picture of the champ here. even though
it's been 48 hours. Come on.
Yeah, well, this web team needs to get on it. They're charging $80 for a pay-per-view. Pay somebody to change the picture out.
Oh, dude. Don't even get me started on that, man.
So, all right. Obviously, we don't want to see Robert Whittaker Adesanya 3. Like, that's just... Both the times they fought, it was one-sided. So, given the choice between those two, Jeff, would you rather see Pereira Adesanya 3 or Whittaker Adesanya 3?
Oh, man. Can we throw... Oh my gosh.
Yeah. This becomes a problem. Look at the top guys. Vittori, yeah. Adesanya beat him one sided. Cannonier, Adesanya beat him. Paulo Costa, Adesanya obliterated him.
Then humped him after.
Yeah. Then you get into Dricus du Plessis, who there's like a little bit of beef there with you know, who's more African or whatever they're arguing about. But he's just not there yet. He just hasn't had that marquee performance. He needs to at least fight like main event of a fight night. You know, Sean Strickland's had a rough go of it. Then you're getting down to Derek Brunson. He's just coming off of a loss.
Did he fight Adesanya? I feel like he did.
Derek Brunson did early on. Yeah. Adesanya knocked him out. So because of the landscape of the division, there's not much left besides doing this trilogy. And yeah. I'll tell you, the person who had the worst result on Saturday night, it wasn't Alex Pereira, it was Robert Whittaker. Because if Pereira had won, we could have done Pereira versus Whittaker, and that would have been a very interesting fight.
Oh,
but now,
man,
Whittaker's been on the sideline. What do you do with him? Because, like, he's, you know, very clear, like, number two contender. But we just can't do that fight. You could make Pereira fight Whittaker, but Pereira's going to need a long layoff to recover. Yeah. He's going to be out 6 to 9 months.
I don't know, dude. I think if you're Robert Whittaker, I think you drop down to welterweight. And I'll tell you why, Bill. Because... if I'm not mistaken, he won his season of The Ultimate Fighter as a welterweight.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken. Don't fact check me on... Actually, somebody fact check me on that because I'm not 100%.
He did. You're right.
Oh, okay. He did. So I think that's their only option, man. Because, like you said, he's 0-2 against Izzy. You're right. He was the biggest loser of Saturdays.
Can you put him right into a title fight at 170? Because we got Colby Covington against Leon Edwards, and then we have Gilbert Burns is probably next in line, and then you got Bilal Muhammad, who's like also deserving of a title shot. So is Whittaker gonna go and skip the line over all these guys?
I'm gonna say yes, because nobody remember Bilal Muhammad's name. So
Mark Fellows says Fat Rob is never going back to 170. And this is coming from one of his biggest fans.
Yeah, I think Mark's right, dude.
I think so, because Whittaker is, what is he, 32, 33 right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very unlikely that he's going to, you know, drop those 15 pounds. He'd have to be so disciplined to get down there. The other curveball you have thrown in here is Chimaev is currently ranked as a welterweight, but he's not a welterweight. So you can throw him in the mix here. I believe he's supposed to fight Paulo Costa, isn't he?
I don't know, but so, that sounds like a great fight.
That's the other thing we can do is, since Pereira is going to be out for a long time, if Chimaev comes in and just bulldozes Paulo Costa or has at least an impressive win over him, you could do Chimaev versus Adesanya right away.
I could see that as a possibility. I like that. But yeah, Bill, you're right, man. We have quite the conundrum here, because the UFC kind of shot itself in the foot here. Bill, do you think that maybe this sequel fight happened because the UFC believed that that Pereira would just ragdoll Izzy and knock him out again?
I don't know. I think a lot of it was because Adesanya was winning that fight, the first fight, and, you know, got knocked out so late in the round. It was so exciting. And he's been such a great champion that they felt like they owed it to him to give him an immediate rematch. Like, all right, you know, you've been such a great champion. You've defended this thing so many times. We'll give you this shot, even though he didn't really want it. Nobody really wanted to see it. But now that it happened, and now that they're 1-1, both with, you know, pretty devastating knockouts, very exciting knockouts, now we're kind of in a position where we almost have to do the third one. You know, it's like you made a great movie, right? And then everybody's at the end of it, everybody is like satisfied with the ending, like, oh, it was a great movie. And then you realize they're making a sequel, and you're like, why the fuck are they making a sequel? And then they make the sequel, and it turns out to be good. And I'm like, well, shit, now I want to see another one. I mean, I never wanted to see a second one, and now I need a third.
Oh, man.
Be like if they made a sequel to, like, Office Space. Like, you know, we don't need that. That was a perfect movie.
Dude, you know, I've been in the mood to watch that movie lately. It's a good movie, Bill.
I just watched it like 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
That's why that reference came to mind. But
nice.
Yeah, throw Chimaev in here. Let's do Chimaev versus Costa. Let's do Dricus du Plessis and Cannoneer.
Dude, I was even thinking of du Plessis fighting Robert Whittaker, man. I think that would be a good fight, too.
Yeah, except because of the heat with Adesanya, you kind of want to see du Plessis make it to the fight with Adesanya. Because there's a lot of heat there. And if they went over and did a UFC in Africa between these two, that would be huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Oh, yeah. That puts butts in seats, man.
Yeah, I don't know where they would do it. I don't know. I guess they've got, like, a big arena in South Africa.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Or they could probably just use a soccer stadium or something.
Yeah, that's probably what they'll end up doing. But that would be humongous. If you could get those two together, because there's heat. Adesanya even brought him up at the press conference, but he said he wouldn't say his name. But he said if du Plessis does something impressive, he would love to drag his carcass across South Africa.
Dude.
So,
oh man,
you got a little heat there. You got some sparks. I think Cannoneer is a winnable fight for du Plessis, but I think it's a tough fight. You know, obviously Cannoneer is not, you know, he's not laying down for anybody. That's a tough motherfucker. And then I don't know. Do we do Vettori and Whittaker again in the meantime?
Oh, sorry, Bill. I thought my car alarm was going off, but it just stopped. So
somebody just stole the neighbor's car.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it stopped, so maybe they got far away enough by now. I'm sorry. What was your question?
Do we do Vettori and Whittaker again?
Vettori and Whittaker. I like that fight. I don't know about how marketable it is, though.
Yeah, it's true. It would be a waste of Robert Whittaker's star power. Pretty much anything you do with Robert Whittaker is a waste of Robert Whittaker at this point.
Yeah,
which is a shame because the guy's such a stud. There's just like it's like you have Brad Pitt, but you don't have a movie to put him in. You don't have a script. I don't know why I keep making so many movie references tonight, but here we are. All right, let's move on, Jeff, just because we spent too long on this main event. But congrats to Adesanya. Gilbert Burns and Jorge Masvidal, I don't think too many people were surprised with how this one went down. Gilbert Burns just a step ahead of Masvidal the whole time, everywhere the fight went. And I don't want to take anything away from Gilbert Burns' performance, but he definitely was not facing a peak Jorge Masvidal. Here's a guy 38, about to be 39 years old, who just like clearly just, I don't want to say he didn't want to be there, but kind of seems like he didn't want to be there. And Masvidal's never been the quickest, you know, he's just always been super slick on the feet and really great with his counters, but Gilbert Burns was just smothering him, man. And it was kind of what I expected. And then when Masvidal did start to open it up, he was just leaving himself open. And Burns able to capitalize. It was a great performance from Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, man. Like you said, it kind of felt like Masvidal didn't want to be there. He never really got going. Mm-hmm. And you know, take nothing away from Gilbert Burns. He fought the right fight. But yeah, dude, I think Masvidal kind of had in his head that this was his last fight, man. And he even said it in the post-fight interview, right? Mm-hmm. He said he's been doing this for 20 years, and he just doesn't feel good when he's in there.
You know,
he's not enjoying it anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, thanks to Masvidal for all the great memories, man. Dating back to the backyard fights, man, Masvidal, he's been one of my fighters that I really, really enjoy watching, man. Not just the mic skills, but the skills in the octagon as well, man.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, he never won anything in the UFC other than the BMF title. But man, a legendary career for him, dude. Someone that I hope to see in the Hall of Fame someday. And you know, I'm glad that he's kind of set for life. You know, he's got the Game Bred fight promotion. So, you know, I'm happy to see him, you know, going out and knowing that he's not going to have to struggle, you know, post UFC.
Yeah. And I mean, he's been fighting at a high level for such a long time too. Like, I remember watching him. I don't know. Did you ever watch Bodog fights, Jeff?
No.
Bodog was a promotion that was around like in the early 2000s. And a lot of guys came from there. Eve Edwards was over there. Chael Sonnen was in there. Lots of guys. So Masvidal was in there. He had some great fights in there. And then I remember one of his best performances when he fought KJ Nunes in Strikeforce. I don't know if you ever saw that fight, but KJ Nunes, another great boxer. This was when Masvidal was a lightweight. And Masvidal just pieced him up in that fight. It was a spectacular performance. But yeah, like you said, legendary career. Hopefully he did enough to get himself in the Hall of Fame, being the one and only BMF champion. I think helps his case. And I think his knockout of Ben Askren is in some kind of performance wing of the Hall of Fame or something like that. You know, TKO'd Nate Diaz. Not a lot of people can say that. I mean, it was a doctor stoppage, but still, he's got a win over Cowboy Cerrone. He knocked out Jake Ellenberger. Submitted Michael Chiesa. How many people can say that? It's just him and Vicente Luque, I think. Just, awesome career. And, 50-something fights or whatever he had, 52, 53, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So I'd say, put him in the Hall of Fame. I know a lot of people hesitate to be his fan because he's very vocal politically, but, you know, who gives a shit? You either appreciated the way the guy fought or you didn't. We're not about anything else here. So, hopefully all that effort has earned him a spot in the Hall of Fame. I know he's had some really memorable fights. It sucks to see guys like this though, who have to go out like this. You know, we keep seeing guys retire on a loss and he had four losses in a row. Granted, it's to the highest level competition, but it just sucks that it's always the way it has to go. Like, so few guys get to go out on top. It's like George St. Pierre and his shadow. I don't know who else has gotten to do it. I can't think of anybody in MMA.
I was going to say Randy Couture, but nah, he got knocked senseless by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Can't think of anybody, Bill. Maybe. I was going to say DC, but DC.
Habib.
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah, Habib went out on top as a champion, but.
Oh, Henry Cejudo. I would throw him in there, too.
Well, but he's coming back.
Oh, that's right.
So who knows? He might go out on a 4-fight losing streak, too. There's still time.
Yeah, Bill, his fight with Aljo is actually in my neck of the woods. It's in Newark. I was thinking of going, but with inflation, I think UFC tickets are going to be too expensive.
Yeah, it's definitely not cheap to be a fan. All right. One of the best 3 minutes of the night, Rob Font and Adrian Yanez. This was just a fucking banger, Jeff. Did you catch this one?
I did, man. Rob Font. For some reason, I can't remember the finish exactly, but I remember just being like, dude, just because of how fast it was. It was in the first round, and Adrian Yanez, he wasn't looking bad up until he got finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was in there, but Rob Font, man, it was just too much for him. I think Adrian Yanez, ranked number 12, going up against Rob Font, who I believe is either 4 or 6, somewhere in that range. But yeah, man, Yanez was just not ready for the step up in competition, man. Rob Font made sure of that, dude.
Yeah, he was in there. I think Yanez was just trying to unload a little bit too much. I mean, he's got a lot of power, and he's put a lot of guys out, but just overextending slightly. The finish was Rob Font coming with like that kind of shovel hook. That caught Yanez right on the jaw and put him out. The thing with Rob Font is his eyes are so good. He just sees the space and he knows how to occupy the space with his boxing. He's really great at controlling distance. He could stay right in the pocket and he throws the strikes exactly where they need to be. But this was a war. These guys were swinging on each other. Either one of them could have gone down. It just so happened that Rob Font was a little bit more precise and beat Yanez to the punch, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Yeah, man, great fight from Rob Font. And Adrian Yanez, I think he's got a bright future at bantamweight. I think he just needs a little more time to, you know, develop and all that.
Yeah, for sure. And he'll be back. The problem is it'll be a long climb to the top because this division is just so stacked.
Oh, yeah.
That one loss is gonna drop you back quite a ways. You know, this is one of the most stacked divisions we have right now. So I'll just pull this up real quick. Yeah. Not that anybody listening to this show needs to be reminded, but, of course, we have Aljamain Sterling and Merab Dvalishvili at the top. Then we got Henry Cejudo coming back to challenge Aljamain. Sean O'Malley's up there. Corey Sandhagen just coming over off a dominant win over Marlon Vera, who's still a legitimate threat in this division. Ooh, Peter Yan, who's lost, what, four in a row now? Three of his last four?
Yeah, something like that.
Still ranked up there. I'd love to see Peter Yan and Rob Font.
Yeah, that's a good fight. I like that one a lot. I actually would like to see, Bill, I don't know if you'll agree with me, but I think Rob Font versus Sean O'Malley would be really fun, man. And Bill, you know I don't like Sean O'Malley, but I think that would be a huge opportunity for Rob Font, especially coming off that devastating win over Yanez. I think that's a fun fight, man.
Well, rumor has it Sean O'Malley's already been promised the winner of Cejudo and Aljamain Sterling. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but it seems to be that's the direction the promotion's going in.
Okay.
And then I think Sandhagen and Dvalishvili is all but locked up. I mean, Sandhagen called him out and Rob's not backing down from a fight. He was so excited to get called out.
Yeah, dude, nobody wants to fight Merab Dzhamshvili.
No, no. I don't know how you would win in a main event and choose to call that guy out, but well, that just proves the kind of badass that Corey Sandhagen is.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. And, Bill, I'll be honest with you. I told my buddy to put because he likes to bet on fights, and he always asks me. I told him to put $100 down on Chito Vera, man, because, one, he was the underdog. I don't know why. And, two, I really thought Vera was going to beat Sandhagen, dude. So, honestly, I think Corey Sandhagen actually deserves the title shot over Sean O'Malley. But my opinion is a little biased. But, dude, Sandhagen, dude, if he beats Merab Dzhamshvili, just give him the 135-pound belt, man.
I actually like how you almost combined his names there. Merab Dzhamshvili.
Yeah, I did.
It actually flows pretty well. All right, Kevin Holland knocked out Santiago Ponzinibbio. This was a fun fight, too.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of fun fights on this card. Kevin Holland finally, you know, landed one on the button on Ponzinibbio, who was upset about the stoppage from Dan Mergliotta. But, yeah, this was a good one. When you face plant and you can't even put your hands out to break fall, that's an instant stoppage right there. And then Kevin Holland kind of followed up with one extra shot that seemed to wake Ponzinibbio up, which happens sometimes. So he was kind of aware when Mergliotta stepped in, but that was definitely the right call. Like, a guy's brain got shut off for it. Even if it's just for a second, you gotta stop it there. You can't allow him to take any more shots. Plus, Kevin Holland would have just landed more of those hammer fists. But it was a great performance from Kevin Holland, man. I thought he looked composed. He wasn't doing anything stupid. You know, like he did in a Wonder Boy fight, you know, where he would like take him down and then let him back up because he promised him he wouldn't wrestle. It's like, come on, dude, you gotta put that shit aside and just win the fights. But yeah, I think he looked great.
Yeah, Kevin Holland looked really good. And Bill, I agree with you, man. Santiago Ponzinibbio, I love him, but dude, he not only did he face plant Bill, he kind of like flew through the air a little bit. He like floated to the ground. It was weird. If you didn't watch this one, go back and watch it. And like you said, man, hands, you know, like far away from his body, face plants. And like you said, the follow-up shot was nasty too, man. And it looked like he was out, like at least for a second or two. So really good stoppage, man. I think Ponzinibbio, when he goes back and sees the tape, he's going to be like, all right, I see why I stopped it. But yeah, dude, Kevin Holland looked good, man.
I'm surprised to see you're sorry to cut you off, Josh. I was surprised to see Kevin Holland is not ranked.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He's not on here.
I thought he was like number 12 going into this fight.
Apparently not, unless this is not updated. But I feel like Kevin Holland is the type of dude to call out Rakhmonov.
Dude.
Like, call out the dude that is just a beast. But other than that, I would like to see Kevin Holland and Jeff Neal, possibly.
I like that fight.
Jeff Neal's ranked number 8 still, but he's coming off of that loss, getting choked by Rakhmonov. I think that's a fun fight.
Yeah, man. Rakhmonov's a tough dude. And that was he choked him outstanding, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was like a big brother choke.
Yeah, dude, that was crazy, man. Rakhmonov's crazy good. I like the Jeff Neal fight. He already fought Stephen Thompson.
Sean Brady would be fun, too.
I was just thinking that.
Kevin dude, Holland and Sean Brady is a fun fight.
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking that, dude.
Because Sean Brady's got that wrestling, but Kevin Holland's good off his back. I mean, knocked out Jacare from his back. Okay, let's talk about the kid here, Raul Rosas Jr., getting spanked by Christian Rodriguez in this fight. Oh, yeah. I mean, Rosas looked good in the first round, but I guess, you know, ran into a wall for the first time in his career. He's so used to just manhandling dudes. Christian Rodriguez hung in there. And the tide started to turn partway through the second round. And then the third round was just an absolute beatdown. That kid got the brakes beat off of him in the third round. Give me your thoughts on the kid here.
Yeah, man. Bill, I think this shows, this reminds us that Raul Rosas Jr. is like 17. You know, mm-hmm. It looked like he only prepared for that first round, thinking, I got my last guy out in the first round. This guy's going to be no problem. And it shows such maturity from Christian Rodriguez, man. That was a veteran performance, man. He knew mm-hmm. if he rode out the storm in that first round, that he could overcome. And dude, I really, there were a couple of times where I felt like he could have finished Rosa with like a rear naked choke or something. And instead he just punished him a little bit more. And it was kind of like welcome to the UFC kind of moment, man. Mm-hmm. And Rodriguez, his expression never changed, dude. Like, he was so calm in there. You know, he's been in there 10, 20 times, man.
Uh-huh.
So great performance from Christian Rodriguez. And I think, you know, this is a learning experience for Rosas Jr.
Yeah, when you start to get into these higher level guys, they're not just going to roll over after losing a round. You know, they're going to come back with a game plan in the second round. And, you know, I don't want to beat up on the kid too much. I mean, his stand-up got exposed for sure. And some of the takedowns he was shooting for, he was just way too far out.
Yeah, dude.
They were kind of desperation shots. But to his credit, he took a UFC-level beatdown and didn't give up. He had plenty of opportunities to get himself out of there. He could have, you know, let Christian sneak in one of those rear naked chokes or just kind of rolled over, let the ref stop it. But he fought back the entire time. So the kid's tough. He is 18. He'll be 19 in October. I wouldn't like to see him back in the octagon before then. He'll definitely need some time to recover from this one, get back to the drawing board a little bit, clean up his striking. I'm sure it's not going to take much. It seems like he's the kind of kid that just absorbs everything that's thrown at him. So he's going to bounce back. I think this was a good experience for him. It's good he got this loss out of the way early on. And a big win for Christian Rodriguez, although he missed weight. So we do have to knock him for that.
Well, you know, Rosa's got a little money out of it. Take it as an expensive lesson.
Sure. Mark Fellow says Rosas Jr. and Macy Barber would make a cute couple.
Dude, they would have some weird looking kids.
Yeah, they really. All right. I don't want to be mean.
Yeah, but let's move on here.
We'll discuss this off air. This will be on our OnlyFans. we'll put our real thoughts, like roasting people behind a paywall.
I love it.
All right, this was fight of the night for me, Calvin Gastelum and Chris Curtis. These guys just brought it, man. Unfortunately, I was in and out on this fight, Jeff, so maybe you could fill in some gaps for me. Apparently, Chris Curtis got headbutt in the second round. And it seemed to, like, in his opinion, it took him out of the fight. I didn't see that. Was it a headbutt that was acknowledged by the referee, or was it something that was just kind of missed and took him out of his game?
I did miss that part. But, dude, I felt like Kelvin Gastelum was just better. I felt like his mm-hmm. timing was better, his footwork was better, his hand speed was better. I don't know, dude. Chris Curtis just looked slow to me. I don't know if the headbutt had anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. But I did miss that part, unfortunately.
Yeah, I didn't see this one as controversial. I think some people were kind of debating it a bit, but I saw it as a clear win for Calvin Gastelum. He got the unanimous decision. I thought he looked good, man. You know, he hit that takedown at the end of the first round to kind of seal the deal. You know, he was going to the body. He was mixing his strikes up really well. I thought he looked great. We're back to the Kelvin Gastelum that fought Israel Adesanya.
Yeah, dude.
All right. I lost you for a second there. All right. So here's a decision I didn't agree with. Luana Pinheiro getting a split decision win over Michelle Waterson Gomez. I did not see this one this way. I thought Michelle Waterson clearly was the better fighter here. I thought she outpointed Pinheiro. I thought Pinheiro landed some big strikes periodically, but Michelle Waterson did too. And she landed more. And I just thought she landed more cleanly and just looked like the better fighter in general. What'd you think, Jeff?
Bill, I agree with you 100%. I felt like Michelle Waterson fought better, but I felt like Luana Pinheiro did more damage when she landed. So I felt like maybe that swayed the judges a little bit. But I agree with you, man. I felt like Waterson outpointed Pinheiro. And yeah, I just felt like she fought the better fight, but Pinheiro did more to win with the damage. What I felt like. But yeah, I agree. I felt like this went the wrong way. But at the same time, I don't like when fighters only fight to win rounds. I like fighters who look for the finish. So again, that's a bias that I have. But yeah, I agree. I felt like this should have gone to Waterson.
Yeah. I mean, Michelle Waterson's always been a point fighter. Point style fighter. You know, and I feel like that's what she did. I feel like she outpointed Pinheiro clearly. I didn't think it was a good decision. When they said it was a split decision, I was like, oh, at least two of the judges are going to get it right. And nope, only one of them did. Just my opinion. All right, last fight I'll get into. Gerald Meerschaert got TKO'd 3 minutes into the fight against Joseph Pfeiffer. This kid came off of the Contender Series, trains with Sean Brady, I believe, out in Philadelphia. He's going to be a bit of a problem in this middleweight division here, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Putting away, knocking out a veteran like Gerald Meerschaert in what is only his second UFC fight, not counting the Contender Series. That's a big deal. So he's going to be like another redheaded threat in this division along with Bo Nickel. So maybe we just put them in there together.
Yeah.
that'd be a fun fight.
Oh man. Yeah, for sure, dude. Joseph Pfeiffer, he's just got raw power, man. And Bill, I like the cut of this guy's jib, man. I liked his post-fight interview. He talked about how he came up from nothing and just he's so grateful for this opportunity. I love it, man. But yeah, this guy's dangerous, dude.
His nickname's Body Bags.
I think it's well deserved after what he did to Gerald Meerschaert, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a submission win over Lorenzo Hunt. That's a big deal. Not really recognize it. He lost to Dustin Stolfus, and then his UFC debut
is a tough dude, though.
Yeah, he is. So that was his first time on the Contender Series. Obviously, Stolfus made it to the UFC after that. Then went and got himself a knockout win, got back on the Contender Series, and then won by knockout against Alan Amadosky. That was 7 months ago. All right. So, yeah, exciting things in the middleweight division. I mean, there's a lot of different things you could do here. I mean, you got a bit of a logjam at the top, but you got a lot of prospects coming up, so it's going to be an exciting division in the next couple of years. I didn't see any of the rest of the prelims, but the only thing I wanted to comment on was the Sam Hughes win over Jacqueline Amarim. Supposedly in the post-fight press conference, she was talking about how her boyfriend told her right before the fight that he bet $1,000 on her. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Apparently, if you're a close relative of a UFC fighter, I don't know if boyfriend counts or not, you're not allowed to bet on the fight. And I guess fighters aren't allowed to bet at all. Active fighters are not allowed to bet at all. And their friends and family are not allowed to bet on them, which I find weird. I could understand if they're not allowed to bet against them because they know, like, you know, say Sam Hughes's boyfriend knew she had a blown out knee or something. And she's like, yeah, I'm just going to take a dive. I need a paycheck. And then he throws $1,000 on her to lose. And they see him going to cash that in on the window. That's suspect. But like when you bet on somebody to win, like you can't control that outcome. So I don't see the issue with it, but hopefully she didn't get herself in trouble by outing her boyfriend on that one. But I definitely don't agree with that policy.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, I agree, man. Agree with you on that. It kind of reminds me of the match fixing that they used to do in soccer. Match fixing that they still sometimes do in soccer.
Yeah. A little bit of a corrupt sport from what I hear.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, great card.
Oh, dude, Bill, I'm so sorry to cut you off, but but before I forget, man, Mark Fellows just reminded me that Lawler versus McDonald 2 got put into the Hall of Fame. Bill, I think we have to talk about this fight for like a minute, man. How legendary was that fight, dude? At the end of it, Rory McDonald has his nose broken, probably in a couple of places. Lawler screaming with his split lip, man. Dude, that if any fight deserves to go into the Hall of Fame, it's that one, dude. Because those guys pushed themselves beyond the limits of the human body, dude. Like, it was ridiculous, man. Like, I got emotional remembering that fight when they were showing the highlights of it, man. That was a special night, man.
Yeah, the only reason I wasn't so excited about this fight being in the Hall of Fame is because I thought it was already in there. I thought they had done this a while ago. Like, yeah, this is a no-brainer. This is one of the greatest fights that's ever taken place in the history of the UFC. It changed Rory McDonald as a fighter forever. Yeah. It cemented Robbie Lawler as a legend because he defended the title. He's got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Although I think he's still active on the roster, is he not?
I think he might be. Yeah.
So once he retires, he'll be a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. And if he's not, then this shit's rigged. But Robbie Lawler not ranked either at the moment. Coming off a loss.
But yeah, Bill, I want to take a second to go back to your Rory McDonald comment, man, because his nose was never the same after that fight, man. I don't remember him winning too many more fights in the UFC after that, actually. I think he went like one win in like four fights after that. And then he went to Bellator.
Yeah, he went to Bellator and had some success there, but still was just not the same. Let's see. Okay, so lost to Robbie Lawler, then he lost to Wonderboy, then he defeated, and then that's it. Then he went to Bellator. But in Bellator came out of the gate, beat Paul Daly, beat Douglas Lima, but then he moved up and fought Gegard Mousasi, which was a mistake.
Oh yeah.
And lost. Fought John Fitch to a draw, beat Neiman Gracie, lost to Douglas Lima, beat Curtis Millender, who had just been cut from the UFC. And then lost four of his last five in the PFL, which is where he is now, I believe.
Yeah, I think he actually...
no, he retired.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure, but dude, there was a PFL card not last weekend, the weekend before, with Thiago Santos on it and Marlon Moraes, and they both lost, dude.
Yeah, that's what's happening. A lot of guys who come from the UFC and Bellator are thinking like, oh, I'm gonna go win $1 million in the PFL. A lot of them lose. Like Anthony Pettis was over there, they were paying him like $750,000 a fight on top of the opportunity to win the $1 million. And you know, I think he lost the tournament 2 years in a row. All right, let's get into it's fight week, Jeff. UFC Kansas City, and I know this fight is headlined by Max Holloway and Arnold Allen, and that's a good fight. But the main event for me is our boy, Billy Q, Billy Quarantillo, and Edson Barboza.
Dude.
This fight is going to be killer. I saw Billy a few weeks ago, and I was talking to him about this fight. He was in great spirits. Now, when you sometimes people throw around the phrase like "couldn't happen to a nicer guy," getting a co-main event on the UFC fight night couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I don't throw around that phrase a whole lot. Billy Q is one of the nicest guys I've met in this MMA world. There's not a lot of people I would say that about. But Billy Q is such a great dude. He's been a friend of the show. The guy's just always smiling, always in a good mood every time you see him. Even though he's such a killer inside the cage, he's just a genuinely good dude. I'm a big fan of Edson Barboza, too. I mean, this guy is just a knockout machine. Some of the best kicks ever. It's going to be interesting, man, because Billy's got that smothering style, which is good to have against kickers. But, you know, Billy also tends to, you know, let people beat him up a little bit in the first round. And you don't want to give Edson Barboza an inch because he's going to take a mile. Give me your thoughts, Jeff, on the people's main event here, Billy Quarantillo and Edson Barboza.
Dude, I love it, man. This is a great fight. Like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. Billy Quarantillo, he's got that smothering style. He's going to lay on you. And Edson Barboza, he doesn't want that. Like you said, he wants to be able to get his kicks off. He wants to be able to have his spinning attacks. But do not deny Edson Barboza's Muay Thai skills either. Mm-hmm. So, this is a really interesting fight, man. And, Bill, you know, Billy Q is an awesome guy. You know, I've had a chance to speak with him a little bit. But I'm not as close to him as you are. So, I'm looking at this from a more neutral perspective. But, dude, this still looks like a great main event, man. A co-main event.
Yeah, even if I wasn't friends with Billy, I would be – I'm still more excited for this fight than the main event.
Yeah, like, dude.
The main event's a really fun fight, but this one gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, man. And Bill, is Edson Barboza ranked? Because I know Billy Q is not, but I feel like this could put him on the map a little bit more.
I want to say he is. So let's see. We're looking at featherweight here. Edson Barboza is ranked 14th. Yeah. So okay. Billy Q's right on the cusp of the top 15. So this is huge for him because he'll break into that with a win over Barboza. And Barboza's, you know, fighting to stay alive in a pretty stacked division at this point. But yeah, there's a lot of fun matchups here in the future. I'm looking at this. And I feel like I just heard Dan Ige announced a fight. He's fighting some. Is it Topuria? Is it going to be Dan Ige and Ilya Topuria? Does that sound familiar?
Not 100% sure.
in any case, we got 2-4 Max Holloway and Arnold Allen going at it here. This is going to be, you know, Max Holloway, I imagine, is just making a last run of it here. You know, Arnold Allen is on a super hot streak. And the guy's just good everywhere. He just is. But so is Max Holloway. I would say, like, man, I don't even know. I couldn't tell you which way to lean on this one, Jeff. This one's a legitimate coin toss for me. Because I feel like both guys have similar tools to win in similar ways. The only thing I would give Max Holloway an edge in is volume and the experience going five rounds. But other than that, like, flip a coin with these two, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Bill, man, I don't know. I don't know because I don't want Holloway to win this fight because he has nowhere to go from there. He's 0-2 against Volkanovski. For some reason, I thought they did a trilogy and he lost that one too. I don't know why I thought that, but if Holloway wins, it creates a lot of problems, man.
Wait, didn't he? Didn't they do three?
I feel like they did.
So you have Sherdog open. Yeah, he lost all three.
Yeah, so it's kind of sticky, man. Mm-hmm. And Arnold Allen, I feel he's multifaceted, right? He's good at everything, but I feel like Holloway is better with the jiu-jitsu and the grappling. I would even give him the edge in striking too, just because of the volume and the output of Holloway. I feel like Brandon Allen, I don't know if he can beat Holloway, but Holloway can't win because then he has nowhere to go. He just becomes a gatekeeper at this point. He becomes the Uriah Faber of the featherweight division, Bill.
Except he's been the champ.
Uriah Faber was the champ back in the WEC days.
That's true. Just never got that UFC gold. Yeah, you're right. It does put him in a shitty situation if he wins, but it puts him in a shitty situation if he loses. I still think Max Holloway could make a run at lightweight.
I think that's his best option.
You know, he had that one fight where he moved up, but it was against Dustin Poirier. And it's not like he did terribly. He went the distance with him. I think if he got used to, you know, fighting at that weight a little bit and eased himself in, he can make a run at lightweight. You know, he's got a good style to fight the champ, Makhachev, because he's lanky. He could keep him at bay with his jab. He's got good takedown defense, and he's good grappler. So I think, you know, I'm not saying throw him right in there with the champ, but, you know, maybe a win over Arnold Allen, make the move to lightweight and have a fight with, like, a top 10 guy. If we're looking at it, shit.
Give him
Dan Hooker and Max Holloway would be a fun fight.
Oh, that would be good. I was going to even say Rafael Dos Anjos or Rafael Fiziev.
Yeah, or Renato Moicano.
Yeah.
Like that would be good. Shit, Max Holloway and Michael Chandler would be awesome.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that would be awesome. But I think I think it would be too much too soon for Holloway in that weight class. I would like to see at some point Holloway versus Charles Oliveira. That would be fun, dude.
It would be. A lot of fun things. All right, so maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing if he won and he moved up. All right, let's quickly go over the rest of this. Azamat Mirzakhanov against Dustin Jacoby. That's a good fight. Tanner Boser, I guess, is a light heavyweight now against Ion Kutilaba. Here's one of the sleeper fights for me, Jeff. Pedro Munhoz against Chris Gutierrez. That's a fun fucking fight right there. I haven't heard anybody talking about this. This one is going to be an absolute war. Look at the pictures of both of them. They have hematomas on their heads. It's like foreshadowing, Jeff.
Yeah, that's a good fight. That's a good pick, dude. Bill, my sleeper fight is Tanner Bozer versus Ian Kutalaba. I think someone goes to sleep in the by the second round in that fight, man.
Is this Tanner Bozer's first fight at light heavyweight?
I believe so.
His last fight was against Rodrigo Nascimento, who is a heavyweight. A big heavyweight. Yeah, so this is Tanner Bozer's debut at light heavyweight. I think that's a good move for him. And Kutalaba has had a bit of a rough patch.
Yeah, but he's still a scary dude, man.
Yeah, he is. So three losses in a row, all finishes. Ryan Spann, Johnny Walker, Kennedy Zechiku. So yeah, he's going to be fighting for his job possibly. Or at least fighting, he's going to be banned to the prelims if he loses another one. Clay Guida and Rafa Garcia is a fun one. Bill Algeo and TJ Brown, really fun fight. Brandon Royval and Mateos Nicolau would be great. Ed Herman is still fighting, Jeff.
Wow.
Hold on a second. How old is Ed Herman? 42.
Jeez.
I thought he retired. Yeah, because he had that fight with Alonzo Menifield that had like the weird. Didn't something really weird in that happen in that fight? Where there was like. There was like almost a submission and the referee stepped in and then they reset or something. Something really weird happened. But that was August 2021. That was almost 2 years ago. And now he's getting back in there. He's fighting Zach Cummings. So, all right, man. Credit to Ed Herman. He's been around for fucking forever. He was on the old Team Quest.
Dude, Team Quest. That's a throwback, man.
Yeah.
I think, did Randy Couture start that team?
Yeah. Randy Couture, Dan Henderson, Chael Sonnen, Evan Tanner. Yeah, they were one of the first legit teams.
Hmm.
And Ed Herman was in there too. Chris Lieben. Ed Herman's got to be the only guy left from that original team.
Yeah, he's the last gunslinger, dude.
There can't be anybody else left from that team. They've all got grandkids now.
I believe it.
Man, good for Ed Herman. All right, Jillian Robertson against the undefeated Piero Rodriguez. That's a fun fight. Lando Venata is fun to watch every time he gets in there. Fighting Daniel Zellhuber. Not familiar with him, but I'm going to watch that fight. Yeah, and then there's some other fights on here, but I don't want to butcher anybody else's name. This is a fun card, Jeff. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm so excited for Billy Q. Can't stress that enough. You know, best of luck to my buddy. I'm not gonna hold back my bias here, Jeff. Everybody knows I'm pulling for my boy, Billy Q. Just such a good dude. Deserves everything that he's worked so hard for. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited for this whole card, man. Mm-hmm. You know, when I saw the Holloway versus Allen as the main event, I wasn't crazy about it because of the scenario that I presented. But looking at the card top to bottom, this looks awesome, dude. This is a good Saturday night.
I think I'm more excited for this fight night card than I was for the pay-per-view last weekend.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I just want to check the start time because, Bill, you know, sometimes these cards... Dude, the last pay-per-view when Leon Edwards beat Kamaru Usman again started at like 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that was weird, but that one was in England. This fight night's in Kansas City, but... Good call checking that start time. While you're checking on that, I'll remind everybody if you want to get some over-the-top, under-the-influence merchandise, t-shirts, tank tops, and hoodies, you can do so through our friends at Team Reaper. Reaper1.co is the website. MMA Rocks 10 is the promo code if you want to save 10% on your order. I don't think too many people are going to be ordering hoodies anytime soon. It's springtime here in Florida. It's already 90 plus degrees, but I don't know. Still a little chilly up in your neck of the woods, Jeff. Some people still want some hoodies that their girlfriends can steal from them.
Oh, for sure. So, Bill, the main card starts at 8:30 Eastern time for us.
Ooh, that's perfect.
Yeah, this is good. Means I can get some sleep.
Yeah, we're gonna get to live like West Coasters for a day, Jeff. We're living the dream.
Yeah, dude, and the prelims start at 5:30. I love it, dude. I think I'm off work that day, too.
We get to feel what it's like living on the West Coast without having people shit on our lawn.
Oh, yeah, dude. Or try to break into our cars.
Yeah, or set our small business on fire.
Fair enough.
Anyways, this was fun. I'm glad we got you back on the show, Jeff. Bringing back old times. I'm not used to wearing the headphones because I haven't needed them in the last few weeks, so my ears are a little toasty. But other than that, it was a good time. You got anything else you want to get off your chest?
Nah, Bill, that's it. I can't wait for this fight card, dude. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go, Billy Q. All right, that's all we got, folks. Until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.